Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and it looks like we're going to have an awfully nice weekend ahead of us here. Maybe a little bit of wind today, but nonetheless, temperatures in the 60s both today and tomorrow. Definitely looking like we are in the swing of spring. So I would say we're going to be transitioning most definitely from ice fishing into spring fishing mode, and I would think the countryside would be littered with all kinds of snow goose hunters this weekend as well. I think that most of the guide services have moved into the area, anticipating a good push of juvies this weekend. And with weather the way that we're having, it may not last very long. And I think that is what most hunters are anticipating as we move into this weekend. So look for there to be a lot of snow goose hunters here this weekend, because this might be the only crack at them that that we get right here in the Watertown area. But I know that my phone's been ringing off the hook with people from all over the country wanting to know what part of the state they should go to, or if they should even go to North Dakota or Nebraska, or what they should do for hunting snow geese this weekend. And I think right around here is probably a fairly decent bet. These geese are just spread out so much from Omaha to Saskatchewan, from Minnesota all the way over to the Missouri River. So birds are just spread out from north to south and east to west, and kind of been tough to pattern. And I think a lot of these guide services that are after these birds every day are a little bit frustrated with the migration here in South Dakota. And I think a lot of the everyday hunters have been fairly disappointed so far as well. But if we have a week here where we can really get after some birds, it should make up for it. And we'll just have to play it by ear and see what we come up with. So nothing we can do about the weather or what the birds are going to do. Nonetheless, if all these geese get back to the breeding grounds a couple weeks earlier than they usually do, that usually sets the table for a good hatch. So if we can get a good hatch, should have more juvies moving into next year, and that's always positive for the decoy hunters if we can get a good hatch of juvenile birds for going into the 2017 hunting season. As far as fishing goes, we're kind of in a little bit of a lull right now. I don't know if there's any ice right here in the immediate Watertown area that I would recommend even probably walking out on. Some of that ice out in the middle is probably still navigable by foot, but you're probably going to have to use waders to get out onto the ice, and I don't think there's many people that enjoy doing that. So it's going to be a couple days here before we get rid of the rest of that ice, so we can transition into some spring fishing mode. We'll start seeing wader fishermen this weekend, I think. I drove around Hamlin County on Thursday afternoon, and I saw the north end of Lake Albert was open. That's usually a pretty decent bet for catching some spring walleye down there. The inlet from Albert to John was running pretty good, so there was some carp stacked up in there. We did see some guys down there bow fishing some carp. That particular area is open between Albert and John, a little bit north of there, all right outside of the town of Lake Norden. Between Lake Norden and Mary, there is a spillway there that goes under the Highway 28 bridge. From that spillway to the 28 bridge is closed. It's closed to fishing, and it's also closed to bow fishing. So that closure lasts until the last day in May. So May 31st, until then, you're not allowed to fish in that little spillway or bow hunt. Or bow fish, I guess I should say, bow fish in that little spillway. But down there by Albert, there was some carp in there, so that was offering up some pretty good opportunity. And also I saw some people bow fishing right by Lake Ponset, north of Lakeview, in that little slough that runs under Highway 81 there. So already here, before we even get to April, we've got some decent bow fishing opportunities out there. And remember, if you get the $5 spear fishing license, you can also spear northern pike throughout the year. So if you're interested in those couple things, go ahead and get that $5 license. If you're just shooting carp, you do not have to have the spearing license. So you only need the spearing license for game fish. So pike would fit into that, but carp do not. Otherwise, Lake Ponset didn't look too bad yet. The shorelines were getting pretty rough, but maybe you could still go out there foot traffic wise if you didn't want to go too far. But on Thursday, there wasn't anybody out there. I think for the most part, people are just going to go ahead and call it a year as far as ice fishing goes. A lot of the smaller sloughs in Clark County that popped up last week, we did have a slough that we're calling Christofferson right now. It has some public property on the south side that we call Christofferson that butts up against this slough. It's just south of Casey's a few miles, but as of about a week or 10 days ago, that slough really started producing some very nice perch throughout the weekend. But last weekend was pretty much the end of it. As of Tuesday this week, the ice really deteriorated fast, got honeycomb in a big hurry, and kind of chased people off of there. But for the week or 10 days or maybe 2 weeks that we had of good fishing on that little slough, a lot of anglers were able to take advantage of that, and that was good. But I can't really remember a slough where I saw so many 14 plus inch perch. The average size of the perch over there was probably normal around the 11, 12 inch mark, but almost every bucket of fish had one over that 14 inch mark, and even a couple over 15. So a lot of really nice perch came out of there. Talked to a lot of anglers that were looking to mount some of those fish and hang them on the wall. So you know, when you talk to so many people that caught trophy fish, that's a pretty darn good fish bite. I look for that little slough to probably be good for at least the next couple years, the way it sounds. Everybody that was out there with Vexlars dropping their sonars down saying that their transducers didn't even work because there was so many bait fish or small perch, whatever it may be, in the water column that their transducers were not even working. So there's a mess of fish in there, and I'm guessing that they're eating well. It sounds like there's pretty decent depth out there. We may not have to worry about winter kill or summer kill issues, and that should probably be a good fishery in the next couple years, the way it's looking. Last weekend, spent some time out on Dry Lake number 2. That ice was really bad already last weekend. There was a four-wheeler that went through down there early this week. So ATV traffic this week quickly became unsafe on Dry Lake number 2. Foot traffic, you might still be able to get away with foot traffic down there, but a large majority of that lake is pretty bad ice, especially the entire west end. We're advising pretty much no travel on Dry Lake number 2. As far as fish goes down on Dry Lake number 2, I'm pretty excited to move into the spring on that lake. Kind of a long winter down there. I think a lot of that fishing traffic maybe moved over to Lake Ponset, and that's why we didn't see as many people there. But late ice, we saw a big influx of fishermen on Dry Lake number 2, and with that we started to see some nice fish. Checked a few limits of walleye out there last Saturday. The walleye were pretty good size. We saw some smaller ones in the 14 to 15 inch range, but we also saw a lot in the 19 to 22 inch range. So really good healthy fish population in there with some fish holding on in that big year class that we saw two summers ago. And if you haven't been to Dry Lake number 2 yet, that boat ramp project is done. Looks very nice. I actually took the four-wheeler up and down the ramp a couple times just to say that I could use it, but nonetheless, that looks really good. And as soon as that ice breaks, we'll be scooting the dock in there, and we will have a double ramp at Dry Lake number 2 that everybody can utilize. We also pushed the parking lot back probably another 3 to 5 acres, so the parking lot capacity at Dry Lake number 2 is going to be giant. If there's a waiting line there now with the amount of work that our access crew has done, it's going to take quite a fish bite to congest that ramp now with the amount of room we have and the double boat ramp that we have down there now. So looking for that to be a good year on Dry Lake number 2. Also, a vault restroom put in down there and really turn it into a nice access area there on Dry Lake. Other than that, move north of there a little bit to Indian Springs. That ice is getting pretty poor as well, kind of following suit with everything else. But we did see some fish last weekend on Indian Springs also. Those walleye were awfully similar to the ones we saw on Dry Lake, right around the 19 to 22 inch range. And we also saw some big perch come out of Indian Springs as well. But we're probably done with ice fishing, but last weekend was a really high note to end on. Good weather, good fishing, and a lot of people were able to kind of go out with a bang. But I think it's done now, and we will move into spring fishing. As far as big numbers of snow geese in the area last weekend, Dry Lake number 2 was probably holding the most geese in Clark County. If I had to put some numbers on it, I'd say there was between 30 and 50,000 geese on Dry Lake number 2. That's been variable every day. I think those birds are moving around from north to south and east to west. And so some days there's more, some days there's less down there, but that's been probably one of our bigger roosts in Clark County. Hamlin County just hasn't had much at all for snow geese roosting in it yet. And I don't know if that's going to change as the ice starts to go out or not. Indian Springs in Clark County did have 20,000-30,000 roosting on there as well. And a lot of those birds were feeding over in the Naples area. Anything other than that, it's been kind of sparse. Long Lake north of Henry had a few snow geese roosting on it, but it'll be interesting to see what this weekend brings in the world of snow goose hunting. Couple of announcements. Same announcements that we had last week. No real new programs or anything going on. But I wanted to start with the Habitat Pays workshop. That is on Monday this week, the 14th. It's going to be at the Extension Building here in Watertown. We had our Habitat Pays workshop last Monday over in Redfield. Went really well. Had a lot of interested landowners. I think they all got something out of it. I think a lot of them were interested in getting some habitat back on their land and seeing what those payments were for certain programs and how they go about implementing those on their properties. So I suspect if we had that kind of a crowd in Redfield that we would have quite a few people here in the Watertown area stopping by this Habitat Pays workshop. But if you haven't heard us talk about it yet on the radio, there's going to be some different speakers there. There will be Chris Goldade there from Aberdeen, and he will be there talking about kind of what we do on our game production areas and some of the different management strategies and that type of thing. Owen McElroy will be here. He's one of our habitat biologists out of the Watertown office. He is going to talk about the Habitat Pays website. So we have a website out there now dedicated to this program, this Habitat Pays strategy that we've implemented, and the website is just geared towards how we're going to carry out that management plan, and Owen's going to be there to talk about that. We'll have on hand Eric Megadans from Pheasants Forever. We'll also have on hand somebody from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to talk about wetland and grassland easements if you have questions. And there will, of course, be somebody there from NRCS to talk about the CRP programs. So if you're interested in putting any of those things on your property, we're going to have a meeting once again at the Cottington County Extension Building. I believe it's Classroom B, if I remember right. And that is going to be, I can't remember the exact time, right around 5 to 7, I believe. I'd have to check on that. But it's all listed on the website at habitatpays.sd.gov. And you can give us a jingle at the Watertown office also on those times and specifics. We have an open house coming up in Watertown on March 31st at the Country Inn and Suites. So if you have any questions, anything fisheries related, habitat related, wildlife, deer, pheasants, law enforcement related, anything like that, water access related, we'll have all kinds of biologists and specialists on hand to answer any specific questions that you may have. We do those meetings on an every other year basis. This is the year that we are in Cottington County. So if you have any questions for us, stop by on March 31st at the Country Inn and Suites from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock for the Game Fish and Parks open house. And the last thing, still advertising our Hunt Safe class that we have coming up in April. If you're interested in that, we capped the class at around 75 kids. Last I checked, we were right around 30 kids. We got plenty of room left. It is posted on our website. Just go to our website, click on the Outdoor Learning tab, scroll down to Hunt Safe, and see if those dates work for you or not. With that being said, that is all I have for announcements. Should be kind of a quiet couple weeks here with the snow geese moving through and shore fishermen not quite being able to go out and cast yet, but that'll all change in the next few days, and we expect things to get busier as we get closer to April here. But nonetheless, enjoy the unseasonably warm weather, and we hope to see you out there this weekend.